our time of sharing, we will be coming from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. And let me, while we're looking and while we're turning, just express my gratitude for the opportunity to participate in Vacation Bible School this week. It was an awesome experience. It was awesome experience. Yesterday, we took a group of our youth down to King's Dominion and experienced Joy Fest and had an awesome time in the Lord. And so they said they've been doing this for about 11 years, and I was like, I don't know where I've been for the past 11 years, but from this point forward, I will surely never miss it again. And so we'll make sure that we have the information ahead of time so that we can get that information out, so that we can all experience. It was Fred Hammond, Tasha Cobbs, Ty Triblett, and Anthony Hamilton. And so King's Dominion will never be the same after yesterday. And so we thank God for the opportunity. We didn't get back till about 1 a.m., but I'm thankful to be here in the house of the Lord. And so y'all pray my strength as we thank you. as we go forth in the Word of God. The Word of God reads in Matthew chapter 7, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock." Somebody say the rock. "The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on a rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act like them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand." Somebody say the sand. "The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against it, and it fell, and great was its fall." I would like to preach from the subject, and I would like you to look over at your neighbor this morning and ask them, "How's your foundation?" Turn to your neighbor on the other side and say, "How's your foundation?" So one of the things I like to do oftentimes in my downtime is watch HGTV. And I'm really fascinated at, I don't necessarily want to build anything, but I'm fascinated at the process that happens and is engaged in when it comes to building houses and when it comes to building different structures. And oftentimes, especially when it comes to renovation shows, one of the first things that people do when they're inspecting a house is they examine the foundation. And it's probably one of the worst things that could ever be told to somebody who purchased a property, especially when they didn't inspect it ahead of time, that they have foundation issues. It's expensive, but the reality is if you don't have a solid foundation of a house, it doesn't matter what's in the rest of the house. Because without a solid foundation, then the rest of the house literally could just collapse. And so as we were sitting this week in Vacation Bible School and as we were sitting talking, I really began to ask myself the question, how important is it for us to have a solid foundation spiritually? And I did some homework, and I was looking even as we were out yesterday in the park, and I was scrolling Google and trying to find information on the importance of having a solid foundation. And you may ask yourself, why is it important that we have a solid foundation? Why is it important that our houses or our apartment complexes or even our office buildings are built on a solid foundation? And so here are a couple things that I found on Google. So a foundation is the basic part of the support and load for the entire building. And once again, that's why I said, if you don't have a solid foundation, if you don't have a sure foundation, then, you know, you could have the most expensive stuff. You could have the most expensive technology. You could have the most expensive furniture. But at the end of the day, because your foundation is not solid, then the rest of the building is not solid. And during our time today and during our exploration today, I really want to talk about how that correlates to our spiritual foundation. Because oftentimes we say, oh, I'm good. You know, I'll come to church every once in a while. You know, I'll read a scripture every once in a while. You know, I'll put some money in the plate every once in a while. And we wonder why it is in our life that everything around us and everything that's going on in our lives sometimes seems so out of place. So sometimes seems so out of whack and out of control. And oftentimes, if we really stop and look at it, it's because our foundation is not clear. Our foundation is not where it needs to be. We haven't taken the time to really lay the foundation like we need to. And had we taken that time and had we spent the time and the energy in order to do that, then things might have turned out and may turn out in the future a little bit differently. It goes on to say, a good, strong foundation keeps a building standing while the forces of nature wreak havoc. Well-built foundations keep the occupants and the building safe during calamities such as earthquakes, floods, and strong winds. And that's why oftentimes, especially around earthquakes, it tells you, you know, if the building is built properly, and nowadays a lot of architects are building infrastructure so that they can sustain certain type of winds, especially when we're in like the South and those areas where they experience earthquakes. Or hurricanes on a frequent basis. It's important that as we're building structures that we provide stability so that when these natural disasters come, that we don't have to get as nervous because we know that the structure was built soundly. And lastly, the foundation must be built such that it keeps the ground moisture from seeping in and weakening the structure. Now, you never really think about moisture. You know, it rains all the time. Oftentimes when it's humid, there's a lot of moisture in the air. And so you don't really think about the fact that moisture can cause issues in a foundation. And so there may be some areas in your life and there may be some things that you are experiencing that are causing moisture to happen in your foundation, and that's why you're having the issues that you're having. And so I want to explore for a little while, four steps. If you were to ever build a foundation yourself, here are the four steps that you will follow. And in our spiritual walk and in our spiritual development, these are the same steps that we can follow. And so for those of you all who are taking notes, here we go. Step number one, you've got to prepare the ground. Somebody say prepare the ground. After having determined the desired thickness of your foundation, you need to get the ground ready to install it. Now, I never really thought, as a result of building a house, that somebody had to take the time to prepare the ground so that it could be ready to receive the foundation that was going to be poured. I'm going to let that sit with you for a couple seconds. See, oftentimes we wonder why in life God has to kind of take us through what we would consider a kneading process where he's pushing down on us and pressuring us and why he's kind of putting pressure on us in order to get where it is that we need to be. But sometimes God has to break up the fallow ground. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the things I always hated when springtime came was my father was like, oh, we got to go out and plant the garden. We have any gardeners in the house? Any gardeners? So one of the things that my job as one of the youngest was to turn the soil. Now, I don't know about you, but that you got to dig it down in there and you got to turn it. And oftentimes I'd be like, Dad, I can't turn it. The ground is so rough. The ground is so hard. And he's like, just keep doing it. And oftentimes in our spiritual journeys, God has to turn the soil in our life. God has to turn some things in our life. God has to remove some things in our life. God has to shake up some things in our life so that we can get to the point where the ground in our life is ready to receive the foundation that he has for us. It's rough. I used to go to bed sore after I turned the soil. But I was so happy that I went through the process of turning the soil when a couple of months later, I saw the fruit of that turning. When I saw the flowers blooming and when I saw the leaves coming up through the soil, I was so glad that I took the time to turn the soil because in me turning the soil, I was able to help something to be able to grow. So if something is not growing in your life, how's your soil? Ask your neighbor, how's your soil? Some of us need to go home and begin to turn some things and begin to turn some soil in our life so that we can get to the point where we're ready to receive what God has for us. You can't take a plant and put it out on the sidewalk and expect it to grow because the conditions on the sidewalk are not conducive to the growth of a plant. But when you turn the soil and when you get the soil ready and when God begins to do things and when God begins to expand things in you, when God begins to break up that fallow ground, we become open to the Spirit of God. We're able to receive what he has for us. We're able to set the foundation properly because if the ground is not ready, your foundation won't be correct. And so don't rush God through the process of breaking up that fallow ground in your life, because you want to make sure that he completely breaks up all those generational curses. You want to make sure he breaks up all those lies. You want to make sure he breaks up all those broken promises. You want to make sure he breaks up all those lies that men have told you, that women have told you, that your teacher has told you, because in order for him to lay the foundation, he needs the ground to be right. Moving on, clearing any large stones, branches, and other disruptive objects, then excavate the space and make it twice the depth of what the final foundation will be. It's important that as we are laying the foundation, it's important that as we are looking at our foundation, that we understand that we must prepare the ground. So don't be angry and don't be upset when it feels like you're going through some things, because you just say to yourself, God, you must be preparing my ground. Don't be upset when it is that people get on your nerves and when it is that you have to press into the Spirit of the living God, because that is God preparing the ground for the foundation that he has for you. Sometimes you just need to go to people and be like, you helping prepare my ground. Thank you. Some of us need to go to some of our coworkers and be like, thank you for being an active participant in God preparing the ground for what he has for me. I don't have to get upset at the fact that you got an attitude, because God is using you to prepare my ground. I don't have to get upset and my blood pressure raised and my cholesterol raised because of your foolishness, because God is doing nothing but using you to help me to get to where I need to be. That's a good word for somebody. Don't get upset at that person who's getting on your last nerve, because God is using that person in order to prepare the ground for what he has for you. Ask your neighbor, how's your foundation? Ask your neighbor, how's your foundation? After we prepare the ground, after we prepare the ground, the second thing we have to do is build a frame. Somebody say, build a frame. In order to construct a wood frame, you need 2x4 lumber pieces according to specific structure needed for the dimensions. So if I were building a 2-bedroom house, the dimensions would be very different than if I were building a 40-floor building, right? And so it becomes important that whoever the architect is knows what the differences are and knows what the needs are of the building, so that the things that he chooses in order to support the foundation will sustain the weight of the building. Let me break that down and make it a little bit more plain for you. Sometimes in our life, when we end up looking at what other people are doing and when we end up looking at what God is doing in other people's lives, we don't realize that God has designed the foundation for them because of what they need. And the reality is, you may not need that same foundation. You sitting here worried about somebody who has a foundation of a 1-bedroom house, and God has called you to a 20-floor building. You sitting here worried about the fact that God is building a foundation for somebody who may be a 1-room floor or a 1-bedroom house, and God may be building your foundation for a 12-bedroom house, and you tripping off of that. You got to trust the frame builder and trust that he knows what frame he needs to build in your life, for not where you are right now, but for where he's trying to take you. Stop tripping off of what you see somebody else having, because that's not what God has for you. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above whatever you can ask or think. You serve an abundant God. Why do you keep limiting him in what he can do in your life? God is like, why do you keep limiting me? Why is it that I have the fullness of the blessing, but you keep putting me in a box? You keep limiting me to the minuscule nature of what your mind can handle. And God is like, I have so much more for you. Tell your neighbor, elevate your thinking. Tell your neighbor on the other side, elevate your thinking. I understand where your family may have been. I understand what your family history may have been. I understand where you may be right now. But the truth is that we serve a true and a living God. And that true and that living God has so much more for you. But you just have to be willing to accept it. Where God is taking us and where God is calling us to is going to cause us to have to elevate our thinking. Stop thinking so narrow-minded. You thinking about working for somebody and God is calling you to be the boss. You thinking about paying off debt and God is calling you to be financially free. You thinking about being part of a ministry and God is calling you to be the leader. Elevate your thinking. Elevate your thinking and see what God would do. Don't worry about your past. Don't worry about what you've been through. Don't worry about who's sitting on the pew beside you, who may judge you. Elevate your thinking and see what God would do in your life. After we build the frame, step number three, you got to mix and pour the concrete. It says take a wheelbarrow or a bucket and fill it with the proper amount of concrete and water. When you're building a structure and when you're building a foundation, it's important that you have the proper ratio of concrete and water. Now, I don't know what that is, but I'm assuming that architects know what that is, so that if they're building a house versus building a office building, that the ratio of concrete to water may need to be different. Keep a close eye on the consistency and adjust it as needed. And so you don't want your consistency too clumpy, but you don't want it too loose either. And as we are trusting in God and as we are connected to God, who is the architect of our faith, he is able to know what that consistency is and he is able to design it. All we have to do is be willing to allow him to work. All you have to do is be willing to sit down and let God stand up in your life. All you have to do is be willing to be open to the move of the Holy Spirit in your life and allow God to make that mixture just the way he needs it to be. Now, I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to keep telling you, your mixture is not the same as my mixture. Let me come over here and help y'all. Your mixture is not the same as mine. So don't look at my mixture and be like, "Ooh, I want some of that." Because you don't know what comes with my mixture. You don't know the responsibility that comes with my mixture. And if I told you, you probably not want it. I want my mixture because what God has for me and my mixture is just what I need. Stop looking around. Stop comparing yourself. Tell your neighbor, stop it. Tell your neighbor, stop it. Stay in your lane. I'm okay with you using that phrase. Go tell somebody, stay in your lane. Don't try to come over in my lane, because you may break under the pressure of what's in my lane. And truth be told, I will probably break under the pressure that's in your lane. So I'm going to let you have that, because I know that you're built for what God has for you. And after we get that right mixture, right? So oftentimes when you look at a building, and it's interesting because everywhere around me in my life, things are being built. When I go to work, when I look outside the window, they're building a new building. When I'm coming up and down 95 North and 495, all I see is building. When I go into D.C., all I see is building. And I really have a different perspective now as to how things are built, because I'm like, who would have thought that, like, how long does this laying the foundation and laying the framework take, right? When you go into your office building tomorrow, or when you go into your school building or wherever you may be going, even your house, ask yourself that question. How long did it take them to build the foundation? Because if my foundation is not sure, then I need to be nervous. But in our spiritual walk, when we hook up with the architect named Jesus, and when we allow him to make us and mold us into whoever he's called us to be, it's all good. I don't know what the outcome may be. I may not know what's coming down the road, but because I'm hooked up with the right builder, I know that everything is going to be all right. And lastly, after we've prepared the ground, after we prepared the concrete, after we've made the structure, the last thing we have to do is let the foundation solidify. After everything is done, it said, while the concrete is still wet, if there are any kinks in the foundation, that's the best time to fix it. And so after God gets finished pouring your foundation, there may be some things that he's going to do in your life to fix some of the kinks that happen in the process of laying the foundation. And the reason why he needs to fix those kinks is because the most minor change or the most minor imbalance can cause structural issues in the whole structure. And so that even in the building project, you may be uncomfortable. Even in the building process, there may be some people that you lose along the way. Even in the building process, there may be some things that God moves out of your way, but that's okay, because at the end of the day, I need my structure to be sound. Once it has completed a step, leave the foundation to dry and to cure. Now, different types of concrete require a different amount of time to cure. And so once again, I don't need to look at my neighbor who might only take a day, when based upon the foundation that God is laying for me, it may take 3 days. I don't need to look at my neighbor's foundation who may take 2 weeks, when at the end of the day, because of what God is calling me to do, my foundation needs 2 years. But because I'm hooked up to the master architect who knows how to lay my foundation, who knows how to get the kinks out of it, he also knows how long it's going to take for my foundation to solidify. Don't rush, God. Tell your neighbor, don't rush. Tell your other neighbor, don't rush. Thank you. But the reason why it's important that we don't rush is because an error in rushing might cause your foundation to be more like sand than like concrete. Oftentimes, the reason why we get so frustrated in our spiritual journeys is because our foundation is built on sand and not on a rock. Oftentimes, the reason why people frustrate you so much and why you get busted and disgusted at people so much is because your foundation is not secure. If you want to have a large bill on your hand, have foundational issues. You're talking about $10,000, $20,000, easy. Easy. But if you take the time and do it right from the beginning, then that foundation will be solid forever. And so in looking at how your foundation is, some of us need to say, God, I thank you for the process of preparation so that when my foundation is sure, that you can build up a castle on top of it. And I don't ever have to worry about whether or not my structure is sound because I know that you have done it. As we move forward into what God is calling us to do, it's important that we have structure. It's important that our foundation is set. Because the reality is, there are going to be people who are going to come in this church whose foundation is unstable, or who may not even have a foundation. And they're going to be looking to us to figure out, how do I get a firm foundation? And if there are kinks in what we're doing, by virtue of the fact that we're spreading wrong information, there's going to be kinks in their foundation. But when we set our foundation on something that is sure and something that is strong, we can create foundations across the world. What would it look like in your family life if your family foundation was sure? What would it look like in your finances if your foundation was solid? What would it look like in your mental capacity, in your mental state, in your emotions, and your psychological health, if your foundation was sure? Sometimes in life, we need to go see the doctor. We need to check in with Dr. Jesus, the one who built us, the one who made us, and tell him all about our troubles, so that he can take us back to the workshop and he can iron out the kinks and he can repair some things in us so that we can go forth and be all that God has called and created us to be. And so you may be saying to yourself, well, Reverend Holt, I hear you. I like what you said. That's good. But I need to understand, how do I get to the point? Where do I start? I know I got some foundational issues. And I want to make a change. But I need to know where I start. And if you fall within that category, I'm so glad you're here, so that I can introduce you to the master builder, so that I can introduce you to the chief architect, so that you can get to know him and he can get to know you. And he can begin to break up that fallow ground. And he can begin to restructure your life. He can make that concrete mix that's right just for you. And that he can pour it so that it can solidify, and he could begin to build the kingdom of God in your life. If you don't have a relationship with that Jesus today, we invite you to come. As we stand to our feet this morning, if you've never been introduced to that Jesus, let me be the first one to introduce you to him. He wants to make and mold your life to be all that he wants it to be. But he asks that you lean and depend.